There are four more this morning. Number eight, in our list. Ask yourself this. Do I listen to God's preachers? Do I listen to God's preachers? You know, God says one of the things that is true of a Christian is that they listen to God's spokesman. Let's see it. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Paul says, you know what? One of the ways we can tell whether someone is a Christian or not is how they listen to us. He says, look, we're from God. We're God's spokesman. We're God's preachers. God has called us to preach this book. And he says, if someone listens to us while we're preaching this book, it is a sign, it is a mark that they know God. But if someone rejects it, it is a mark that they don't know God. We could ask this question in a couple of ways. We might ask, what is my attitude towards my pastor? Or pastors in general? We might ask, how do I respond to the preaching of God's word? You know, are you sitting here this morning saying to yourself, man, can't wait till this is over and I get out of here? That kind of tells us where your heart's at. If you're sitting here saying, yeah, I'm tired of listening to this guy, and I wish I wasn't here, that tells us where your heart's at. If you're sitting and saying, I don't believe anything he says, and I could care less what he says, that tells us where your heart's at. Someone who is truly a Christian, who really is a believer in God, who is a child of God, they want to hear the word of God, they want to listen to the word of God, and they kind of sit there and say, tell me what God wants and I'll do it. I think one of the sure signs of whether we're saved or not, whether we're born again, whether we're Christian or not, is our attitude towards biblical preaching and preachers. Paul says this is how we know the spirit of truth. In fact, hold your finger here, and I want us to turn back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. Tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But the tenants saw the son, and they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop
at harvest time.
What Jesus is talking about here in this parable is the fact that God had sent prophets and preachers to the Jews, to those in that day. And what they did is they rejected one after another after another after another, and in fact killed some of them. Till finally God sent his son, and they killed him too. What Jesus is saying is, look, the way you treated God's servants is a mark that they did not know God. See, the way we respond to those God sends in our life, those preachers that God sends our way, is a mark, a sign of what's really going on in our heart. I can remember years ago, when I was growing up, we talked about going to church and wearing our Sunday best. And by that it meant, especially for some, that you know, you'd put a tie on and dress shoes on, dress pants, dress shirt, and a suit jacket, and you know, that was your Sunday best. And then we were told that we needed to bring our Bibles, so we would bring our Bibles. So, you know, we came to church with our tie on, our suit on, our dress pants, our dress shirt, our nice shoes, and our Bible in hand. And we were there, and we were dressed in our Sunday best. Ladies were dressed in their dresses. We had our hair done, combed, and fine, and we had more of it back then. But, you know, we were ready to go to church. But it said nothing about what was in our heart. In fact, I remember years ago we had this family come to church, and they wouldn't walk in the building. We were renting a building at that time, and they asked if the pastor could come out and meet them. And they said, well, why don't you want to go in? They said, well, we don't have shoes on. And everybody at the time said, oh, that doesn't matter. Come on in. You know, we've taught people how to dress, and I think we've messed that up too. But we haven't really taught people how to have a heart that's right with God. See, how we're dressed really doesn't tell what's going on in our heart. Might some, but not as it relates to our relationship to God. But I'll tell you what, how you respond to the preaching of God's word tells what's going on in your heart. It tells what your attitude towards God is. You know, if you're sitting there and you're saying, feed me, or if you're sitting there saying, shut up, then we know where your heart's at. And I want you to know, if you want to have a relationship with God, a real living relationship with God, then if you're sitting there and saying, look, I don't want to hear this, then I want you to know the end result of that attitude is an eternity of rejection by God in what the Bible calls the lake of fire. Because God knows our heart. And there's only two possibilities, heaven or hell. Where's your heart? John says, look, we know the difference. We can tell the spirit of truth. We can tell the spirit of falsehood. How do you respond to truth? Where's your heart? Question number 9. Ask yourself this. Do I love people? Do I love people? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his Son, his one and only Son, into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. You know, the third question I gave in this list was, do you love Christians? This question is a more general question, and it simply asks, do you love everybody? In other words, do you have a heart of love? The Bible says if you have become God's child, then God poured out His love in your heart. Therefore, you will love. You know, if you hate people, if you just hate people, if you have an attitude that just says, you know, I want everybody to serve me, if you have the attitude that says, you know, my greatness is shown by how many people sit at my feet, if you're constantly saying, look, I don't have time to help you, if you're constantly saying, look, don't bother me, if you're constantly saying, look, you know, I'm just so sick and tired of you, I want you to know the love of God is not in your heart. And if you are a Christian, the love of God will be in your heart. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes maybe you get annoyed with people. Doesn't mean that sometimes maybe, you know, your patience is tried. We saw that when Jesus walked on the earth, his patience was sometimes tried with the disciples. But what is your lifestyle? Does your lifestyle reflect the love of God? Now, hate is the opposite of love. And hate says, you're here to serve me. And whatever you can give me is for my benefit, and that works. But if you're here this morning and you say, look, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. I'm willing to sacrifice my time, my talent, my treasure for you, then the love of God is in your heart. If we could take your heart and kind of just lay it out. In the Bible, when the Bible speaks of heart, it's not talking about that thing that's beating within you. It's talking about the inside of who you really are. I mean, if we can open you up, do we see the love of God? You know, they tried to trick Jesus. And the Jews would often argue over which was the greatest commandment. And they each had their idea of which was the greatest commandment. So they thought if they came to Jesus and they could ask that question, they would at least get some people fighting with him. So they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, look, the first and the greatest commandment is the love of God. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. He said the second is like it. It is to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, in the Bible, the word neighbor means the near one. You know, the nearest near one, if you're married, is your spouse. So God commands you to love your spouse. And then you know what? God even commands you to love your children. And God commands you to love your brother or your sister. God even commands you to love your neighbor. And you know what? Christians here this morning, God commands you to love the Muslims and the Jews and the Buddhists. God commands us to love people and to bring them to Jesus. And you know what? God even commands us to love the homosexual. And dare I say it, the gossiper. See, it is easy to love the person that is easy to love. But if God's love has been poured out in your heart, then it will be seen in loving the person who is hard to love. One of the marks that someone has that relationship with God is that God's love is there. Question number 9 you ought to ask yourself is, do I love people? Number 10, am I overcoming the world? Ask yourself, am I overcoming the world? Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Now let's start in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Am I overcoming the world? The word overcoming simply means to be victorious. And the idea of the world here is the world system in which we live, the world system which stands in contrast to what God values. Let me ask it this way. Do you value what the world values, or do you value what God values? If your life is all caught up in this world, you know, you want the things of the world, you want all the world has to offer, and you're living for here, then you're not overcoming the world. You know, if the most important thing to you is keeping up with the Joneses, are there any Joneses here this morning? I hope not. Yeah, there is one. I forgot, Linda. We're trying to keep up with Linda. If your desire is to keep up with the canaries, are there any canaries here? You know, if that's where you're living for is here, then we got to ask, is the love of God, is the relationship with God really there? Yeah, I think, in fact, one of the things that really happened is that in our desire to dress, which I think is good, you know, you dress to represent God. But on the other hand, I think we've gotten so caught up in the world that, you know, sometimes ladies come into church and they want to make sure they're dressed better than some other ladies. Us guys don't care as much. We care about other issues, right, guys? Just as bad. You know, we care about our hobbies and our prestige in the world. You know, we get around with each other, you know, have I done better than you have done? These are all worldly things. You know, where's our heart? Have we overcome the world? Are we living for the next? Or are we stuck here? One last question. Question number 11. Ask yourself this. Do I have a correct view of Jesus? Do I have a correct view of Jesus? Why don't you notice verse 9 of, well, verse 1 of chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Notice verse 9. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. And anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you have a correct view of Jesus? And what does the Bible tell us about Jesus? Here it is. The Bible tells us we need to understand two things about Jesus. First is this, that he is the Son of God. That he is the Son of God, which means that Jesus is God. Now, we are, as I just said, we are to love this world, but in loving this world, we need to come to this world and say, you know what? If you want to go to heaven, if you ever want to have a relationship with God, it comes through Jesus, because he is God. I want you to know, Jehovah's Witnesses are not saved because they don't have a correct view of God. Mormons are not saved. They're not Christian because they don't have a correct view of God. And all the people I just mentioned that we need to love, we also need to realize that if they don't have a right view of Jesus, they're not going to heaven. The Muslims and the Buddhists and the Jews, and even some within Christianity. We also need to understand that God's Son came to this world as the perfect Lamb of God. And he came for one reason. He came to die. The Bible says he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible says that he became our scapegoat. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He went to the cross, was nailed to that cross, shed his blood, died, was buried, and rose again. And he did that for one reason, that you might go to heaven. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a correct view of Jesus? Do you believe that the only way you're going to go to heaven is by placing your faith, your trust in what Jesus did on the cross? Plus, minus, nothing. It's not Jesus plus what you do. It's not Jesus plus, you know, whatever. It is his death on the cross for your sins. And the only way you could go to heaven is by coming to a place in your life where you admit that you're a sinner, and that sin deserves death, and you believe with all your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and he rose again that you may have life. And you must call upon Jesus to save you. And some people say, you know, yeah, I believe that. I've always believed that. No, you can't. No. There's a point in your life where you turn to Jesus from the life you were living, where you turn around, you put him first, where you repent of your sin, and you turn to God, and you say, you know what, God? I haven't lived right. I may have been religious, but I haven't lived right. But now I realize the only way to live is to make you first and to follow you. Let me ask you this morning, can you point to a time where you received Jesus as your Savior, you called upon him to save you, and the result is that you've been living for him? You know what a Christian is? The word Christian means a follower of Jesus. Are you living for Jesus? You know, it's not just that you raised your hand or you walked an aisle or you prayed a prayer. It is, have you done that and it was real in your heart and you're living for Jesus? Living for Jesus doesn't save you, but it just shows that you really have been saved, that you really have become a Christian. Let's bow our heads. This is between you and God. This is no game time. This is hypocrisy out the window time. This is, where is your heart? Is your heart with this world? Is your heart with God? Have you received Jesus as your Savior, or have you not? If you have, you'll live for him. If you haven't, you're going to continue to go your own way. So with your head bowed, your eyes closed, if you want that to change in your heart, right now between you and God, say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. Admit that I'm living a life without you. And I now believe that Jesus died for me. I want to turn from the life I was living and begin to live a life that pleases him. Dear God, save me. It's between you and God. You know, it really doesn't matter anywhere else, it's between you and God. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? If you do not, the Bible tells us you will be eternally separated from God. Dear God, I pray this morning that someone has received your Son as their Savior.
I pray this morning, Father, that someone has called upon you to save them. I pray it's real. Change their hearts, change their lives, Father. Whatever it takes, Father, I pray if there's someone that is still here without you, that they would call upon you to save them. Father, I pray that this will be a day that some will look back on and say, this is the day that changed their lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.